Reno's Rock Station, Rock 104.5. We are backstage at Aftershock 2024 and a band that has been very crucial in the growth of Rock 104.5. Look, we started back in 1996, and then 6 years later, there's a little band out of South Africa named Seether that hit the airwaves with the song Fine Again. And since then, they have grown on to be one of the biggest bands in the world. And we are here with Dale Stewart, bassist for Seether. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How's it going here? Oh, sitting here in the dead sun.
I know. The sun is just beating down on us. I can't see anything on my computer. I'm going to take you back to 2002. The first time I heard Seether wasn't on the radio. It was on the Madden 2002 video game, where Fine Again was featured up. Back when the Madden video games used to have rock music on it. You can't find rock music on a video game these days.
Right.
That was the first time that I had heard Seether, and it was a great way to really, you know, be exposed. You know, how did that help your guys' career and then getting into radio?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that helped us a lot. I had so many kids come up to me and, hey man, heard you on Madden and we came to the show. And video games, they're unbelievably popular. You know, it's and even back then, I mean, this is 22 years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, so even more so now, but like you say, it's hard to get a rock song in a game.
Yeah.
But it's such a huge industry now. But yeah, it did a lot for us. And then, radio, man, you know, just, radio stations have been really good to us,
right?
If I'm honest. And you know, we've put in the work, you know, getting out on the road. You know, we've always been that band that never really shied away from, putting in the miles and getting out there. So,
right.
Yeah. I think, between radio and, you know, the odd game, the odd sort of movie soundtrack and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of what put us on the map.
How does the process work? I mean, do you guys as a band write the music and then Sean comes in and lays down lyrics? Does he come in with lyrics and you guys are, man, that, okay, here's what we can do with that. How does the writing process work?
Yeah, it kind of depends. This album, Sean basically did the bulk of it in his studio at home.
Okay.
And, the beauty of that nowadays, you can just email stuff around,
right? Yeah.
You know, send it to the band members, and so you don't actually have to be in a room together,
right?
To try and iron out your parts and things like that. But yeah, by the time we went in studio, you know, the sort of basic song was pretty much there,
right?
And we really didn't tweak much in the studio.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the beauty of coming out of COVID, I guess, was just a lot of. A lot of time to sit at home and sit in your studio and work on new material.
Now, do you feel as a band sometimes that could be both good and bad? Like in the sense of when you're in the studio, everything seems so natural, organic. You guys are bouncing ideas off of each other, which you probably did way back in the early days.
Right.
And now with the advent of technology and everything else, you can, you know, kind of do as what you were explaining. The pros and cons of that. I mean, do you miss just gathering in the studio and saying, okay, we're going to bust out an album in the next 3 weeks
or 4 weeks
or however long it took, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have the luxury now to take time to make an album. But I mean, back in the day, like you say, okay, you got a couple of weeks to come up with music, and you just hunker down in a rehearsal space. Or we wrote a whole album basically in sound checks.
Oh wow! Which
like
album?
Our sophomore album.
Oh okay.
Yeah, Common Effect.
Right.
Yeah, it was Common Effect, and basically, it was like in sound checks because we didn't really have enough time off the road to be like, okay, we're gonna take a couple of weeks, a couple of months, go in studio and focus on writing, and we used to just kind of jam during the day and come up with ideas. And like a lot of that album was basically ideas that just kind of came to the surface in sound checks and things, and then we record them down. You do what's I guess best for you at the time. And you know, now we have the luxury where we can not tour ourselves half to you know, maintaining that pace is hard, but you know, we can say now, look, we're gonna take off 18 months, 2 years,
it's been a couple of years too.
Yeah. and just make sure the album's as good as it can be, and not release anything at all. And we're not scared people are going to forget about us, you know, so.
Do you ever get to the point, so Godsmack recently said that they're not going to release any more new music. They have so many great albums, they got so many great songs, and when they have as many songs, and you guys have, you know, a shit ton of music. I mean, you guys got so much music to choose from, and they were talking, it's like, you know, we got a lot of different things that we could add to the set list, and when you put out a new album, you have to, you know, grab a lot of those songs, and you got that touring cycle. Do you ever see a day where Seether kind of does the same thing and say, you know what, we're done making new music, we're just going to tour on our catalog?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't think.
Is it the process? Is that what it is? It's the process and getting the words out and what you're feeling?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the music, and again, Sean's been, I feel like, more writing more prolifically than ever. You know, just, you know, seems like such a steady stream of creativity. And but again, I think the music is very much kind of a form of therapy, especially, like, you know, Sean's lyrics are pretty, a lot of it's pretty dark stuff, and but I think that's a way of purging those kind of emotions and feelings, you know, getting that stuff off your chest. So, you know, that's an important part of why we do this, you know, just the love of music and the creative element of it. And then the therapeutic side, so I think, you know, we'll just keep doing what we do. Just, you know, as long as people want to hear it, you know, we'll keep releasing music, and, you know, as long as people want to watch, we'll keep playing. Even though, you know, we've slowed down on the touring a little bit. Sean and I both have little children, so it makes it harder to leave them at home and come out here for, you know, months at a time. So we don't tour at the ridiculous level we did when we were youngsters, but yeah, I think we still you know, we still tour pretty, you know, decently hard for a bunch of old guys.
Nice. So you joined the band in 99 2000. How did that come about? Were you already friends with them, or did they track you down and say, you're amazing, we need you? What happened?
I was in a band, and my guitar player in that band, Sean, was dating his sister.
Okay.
He was dating my guitar player's sister. So they'd, like, come to our shows and hang out, and, you know, Sean was just this awkward guy with long hair in his face, and I'm like, and I'm sort of more of the outgoing one. I'm like, what's up, man? Can I buy you a beer? And he's like, hey.
Yeah.
And, like, he really hasn't changed yet.
That's the brooding rock star.
Yeah, he is. So we became friends, and then he ended up joining a band, which he joined us as a guitar player in this band of like five people. And then one day the singer didn't turn up and the keyboard player didn't turn up. He's like, okay, I'll just sing. They're like, oh my God, your voice is amazing. We didn't know you could do that. So they became a three piece. And then that bass player, they kicked him out. In the meantime, my band had broken up.
Okay.
And I just got a call from Sean. He's like, hey, I hear you guys broke up. You know, we need a bass player. And I was like, well, cool. Yeah, I'm gonna have else going on. And we just started, you know, playing, you know, recording demos and playing as much as we could. Next thing we know, we're on a plane to New York City to meet Wind Up Records, got signed, and yeah.
That's a great story.
And been in the States, since 2002. We moved here to come work, and we just never left. We're both citizens now, and you know, we're married and we have kids. And
not a lot of people are coming here voluntarily right now.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So you said you've got young children. Talk to me about your family.
Yeah, my oldest daughter, she'll be 3 in January.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's adorable. My son's 11 months, and we live in Savannah, Georgia. I moved out of LA.
It's gorgeous there.
Yeah, I was in LA for 15 years, and you know, got tired of that, so we live the quiet life on a lake in Savannah, Georgia.
Is your house haunted?
I don't think so. I'm not a big ghost guy, so it could be. And I just,
well, they say it's the most haunted city in the
U.S.
It is,
yeah, that they do. And you know, my wife's done a ghost tour. She more kind of, you know, buys into that stuff. Actually, we had a discussion once. She's like, you don't believe in ghosts? I'm like, nah. She's like, well, I do. She said, okay, well, you know, if I die first, I'll come back and I'll give you a sign to prove that ghosts are real. I said, okay, and if I die first and I become a ghost, I'm not going to give you any signs so that I can win the discussion.
Oh, that is amazing. We always have to win, don't we? We
exactly.
Always got to find
win
a way to win.
Win at all costs.
Oh, you know, speaking of wives, my wife is here, and Shauna's favorite Seether song of all time,
okay.
Here and Now.
Oh, okay.
Loves that song, and you know, we'll go see a Seether show, especially at a festival,
yeah.
And it's like, oh man, they didn't play, you know, Here and Now, or maybe another ballad from somebody else. I said, you know what, it's a festival setting, you know, they can't stick with all the ballads, you know,
right.
It's, you know, they got to condense time. Talk to us about how you do curate that set list for a festival as opposed to a headlining show.
Yeah, it's, man, it gets tough, you know, once you've been doing it long enough. And you've had like, I don't know, 20, you know, something singles, and it's like, okay, what aren't we going to play?
Right.
It becomes the question.
Yeah.
So it's like
picking your favorite child, right? I mean, if you got 20 kids, it's like, okay.
You just can't talk about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just don't admit it. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, we try to play a little bit of everything because, you know, the people want to hear the songs they know from the radio.
Right.
So we end up playing 99% just, you know, singles.
Yeah.
But at a festival like this, I know, you know, sometimes it's cool to play a bit more of an upbeat set.
Right.
You know, the Remedies and Fake It's and Gasoline.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the heavier, you know, Judas Mine, which is our latest single.
Yes, off of Surface.
Kind of a
Surface
heavy.
Seems So Far,
right.
Is the name of the album, by the way.
And that's, yeah, that's a rocker as well. So
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, do a bit more up, no, not just for you.
That's what I always tell her.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
You know what, they don't put the set list with you in mind, it's
right.
Everybody
it's
in
everybody.
Mind. Yes.
Yeah, you know what they say, you know, dance for the one who brought you. So you know, you got to play the songs that people want to hear, and those are radio songs. So, but,
and mean, there's
it's
probably
a good problem to have.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and I bet there's probably a lot of you know, deep tracks on your records that aren't singles that you're like, man, I love that song. My bass playing was so great. Or Sean, man, you just sang so well on that. And you know, it's like, it's just not going to work for the set.
Yeah, you know, every now and again we'll pull out an oldie. Like last night we played in Oceanside, and Sean's wife, she was out. It was actually her birthday yesterday, and she's like, for my birthday, I want to hear Pig.
Okay.
And that's old school from,
yeah.
You know, from my first album.
Right.
I mean, that song dates way back to
the
South
a deep
Africa
one.
Days.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, I guess we'll dust it off. And we kind of learned it and, you know, ran through it in sound check. And I mean, it came back like that, which was amazing.
Right.
Yeah, and we played this old song and it was actually so much fun.
Okay.
Just to play it and you know, just takes you back to that. Takes you 25 years, you know,
right.
20 something years back, you know, to jamming in an old drummer's garage and
there you go,
in South Africa, you know, dreaming about, you know, how's it gonna be one day, and so every now and again we'll do something like that.
Good, okay.
But tonight we don't have a terribly long set, you know. I think we've got 40 minutes. So
right. So you gotta get the bangers out there.
Gotta
get the bangers out there.
Just all bangers, hopefully.
Shauna, sorry, there's no Here and Now today on the set list.
Okay. Okay, good. You know, I love that song too. You know, it's
I love all your songs.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so usually we do a Fast Five segment, but I didn't get five questions that I wanted to throw in there. So I'm going to do a fast two.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is going to be the better Seether cover, Careless Whisper or Seether?
Ooh. I'm going to say Careless Whisper.
Okay.
Just because it kind of came from left field.
Right.
Like a lot of people were like, why did you do that? Why did you pick that song?
Right.
I feel like Seether was, you know, when we did that, the like,
Seether
okay,
was obvious.
Was
you had to do it, right?
Choice.
I mean, that's what you were named after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Careless Whisper was like, whoa. Okay, we did not expect that. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say all Careless right. Whisper.
And the greatest South Africa export, Elon Musk or Charlize Theron?
Ooh. You know.
Or Seether.
She's, well, yes, Seether won.
Okay.
That's number one. I mean, she's beautiful, Charlize. But man, Elon, he's done a lot. I heard they just, you know, successfully been landing rockets back down on the platforms.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, he's revolutionizing the
world.
The world and the at least the aerospace industry. Yeah. I know he's a polarizing figure now that he's kind of delved into politics.
Right.
You know, so love him or hate him. I mean, he's a unbelievably brilliant guy, and unbelievably intelligent, and I think
sounds like Elon Musk is number two.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Elon Musk too. Charlize.
There you go.
You're number three.
Dale, thank you so very much for coming to hang out with us and spend some time Reno's Rock Station, Rock 104.5. We appreciate it. So many great hits, and I mean, you guys are a big chunk of our playlist over there,
awesome.
And so we appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate you guys.